When they went, and he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Mary had her priorities right when she put hearing from God first above the household duties. Deuteronomy 6, 5, and Luke 10, they both say, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So we need to love him above everything else, above all of our responsibilities, before whatever it is that might keep you from spending time with him. I was thinking about that. The little tiny areas. You know, you go to church Sundays and Wednesdays, and you spend time reading the word, and you pray, and you worship, and you minister to others. But what are those little tiny areas that maybe you need to surrender to him, to be devoted to him in every part of your life? We have to be faithful every day to seek the Lord and to spend that quiet time waiting to hear from him, waiting for him to minister to our hearts for that specific need, for that specific day. Mary sat at his feet here, as we see in the scripture. She sat and she had childlike faith, and she sat and she trusted and she listened. And we really do. We have to put reading the word and listening and hearing his voice before service in our own homes, before service in our church, before service to others, our friends. Hearing from him in a personal way each and every day will then equip you and inspire you for the right intentions for service, not only to God, but also to others. Really, what good is service if it's in vain, if it's in your own strength? If spending time with the Lord means giving up something that you wanted to do that day, it means that you're going to be spending time, one-on-one time, with your Savior. My husband went to a men's conference at Cal Poly, I don't know, a few years back, and John Corson had shared, and the one thing that Jeff walked away from was that John was saying in the morning, when he spends time with the Lord, he prays, you know, about the things that the Lord spoke to him and ministered to him, but also he lists up his day and his, you know, little list of things that he wants to accomplish and responsibilities for that day. But his prayer was this: "Lord, here's the list of things that I need to do today or want to do today. But Lord, I ask that you would give me the time for the things that you would have me do today. Because all this other stuff that I think that I really need to do doesn't really matter." And usually that little stuff is fleshly desires or things of the world. And sometimes, yes, the Lord does give us time for those things and those desires because they're exciting to us or they're fun. But the important part is that we do what the Lord would have us do first. So it is important to seek the Lord each and every day, in the good days and in the bad days, during the tough weeks, during the tough months. But I really feel like it's more important on those good days, in those good times, because it's then that you're faithful in seeking the Lord and hearing from the Lord, and you get into a routine of hearing from him, that he ministers to your heart right where you're at. And then when those tough times come, you're already in that routine, and you expect nothing less from him than to minister to your heart and to hear from him right where you're at. So if you prepare your heart and your mind, then you will be strong to stand in faith when those tough times come. You're already prepared. Your mind's already there. You already know those promises. You know that he's faithful, and he will carry you through those tough times. I love this scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. I shared this once before. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Martha really did need some of Christ's power here in this scripture. So let's look at her for a little bit. It seems, I've read through some commentaries as I've been studying, that Martha was a widow, possibly a widow, and she was the older sister. She was older than Mary. So this was thought to be Martha's home that Jesus and his disciples came to visit, and Mary lived in that home with her. Because this was Martha's home, she knew of the importance of the household duties, of what was expected of a woman or a wife, and as the hostess. She was responsible for taking care and pleasing her guests, and making sure that they were happy and comfortable and content. Maybe some of us can identify, I'm sure most of us can identify with Martha here, or in a similar situation, that, you know, we have friends and guests, we have people over for dinner to visit, and we do. Our desire, our ultimate desire, is just that they be blessed, that they be comfortable and they be content, that they be happy. Her love energized her here, and we can relate, and how exciting that is at an opportunity to serve and to love someone special to us. So here we see that Martha's intentions were good. They started out good. But in verse 40, it says at the very beginning, but Martha was distracted with much serving. So I'm sure most of us can also relate here, because I know I can. It was bad enough for Martha, here in her eyes, that she was doing all the cooking. She was doing all the preparation. But doesn't it even get even worse when here we are working and striving, and we know there's someone just sitting around in the next room not doing anything? That's not fair. So Martha knew that if she only had a little bit of help from Mary, things would have gone much smoother and much quicker, and it would have been prepared in the time she wanted it to be prepared in. So do we see where this is going? Have any of you guys been there? The unfairness and the irritation build up, and then what happens? We get angry. We get angry at ourselves. We get angry with others that might have helped at the task at hand. Well, by this time, Martha's good intentions turned into a self-centered idea, and it wasn't completed. Well, for Martha, it was Mary's fault, and that's all there was to it. Martha thought and knew for sure that the Lord cared of her willingness to serve her guests, and that he surely knew that her load, it needed lightening. So with all confidence, she approached Jesus, and she said at the end of verse 40, "Tell her to help me." But this is how Jesus responded in verse 41 and 42. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." What was that one thing? To be ministered to by Jesus himself, to hear from him in a personal way. Now, Jesus did not rebuke Martha for the preparations, because the meal itself was very important. Jesus knew that food was important. It's important to feed our physical bodies. Remember how he fed the 5,000? He knew. What was going on in Martha's kitchen was very important. Now, the problem wasn't with Martha's cooking. It was with her attitude and her fretting and her worrying, and that's what created the bad situation. Martha's problem was that of balance, of holding life at its proper tension. I read this, call it an analogy, about a sewing machine, and I thought it was appropriate here with Mary and Martha. In a sewing machine, there's a top spool with thread, and you have to weave it down through the needle. And then on the bottom, there's a bobbin, and that has thread in it too. And the tension between those two threads has to be properly adjusted. And if it's not, the seam has no strength. It's snarled up and tangled, and there's no strength in that seam whatsoever. A seam is only possible also with both of those threads. You can sew and sew with that top thing on the top spool, but without that bottom thread underneath, there's not even going to be a seam. So I thought to myself, well, let's say that Martha's that top spool, and maybe Mary's the bottom spool or bobbin. And if they're properly adjusted and balanced, then you're going to have a seam that's strong and usable. So Martha's problem, I think, was that she didn't even have much thread in that bottom bobbin. We live in a world where we do have to take care of our families and our homes and our jobs. We have to worry about school and studying. We have to clothe ourselves and our family. We have to worry about the meals and the food and all those things. But we also live in the spirit. And we have to also take time and to feed our soul, to be fed and to be ministered to by the Lord in order to walk in the spirit. So spending time with the Lord is what will build that foundation and make that seam strong. Psalms 119, there's a few verses, 33 through 38, that were real good, but I really, verse 38 is what really stood out to me. It says, "Establish your word to your servant who is devoted in fearing you." And I was thinking, well, in order for his word to be established in our minds and in our hearts, we have to spend time with him. We have to. Our priorities have to be right in order to have the right attitude in serving others. We have to let Jesus minister to our hearts in a personal way, personally, before we can therefore go out and minister for him to others. Leviticus 27:28 says, "Every devoted offering is most holy to the Lord." And when I read that, I thought, I can be an offering. I'm an offering. I can be devoted. God also has an order here. Deuteronomy 6:5, we read before, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart first. Second, you love your neighbor as yourself. That's second. Sometimes we start to do this backwards. We minister to others without being ministered to by the Lord first. And isn't it so true that when that happens, you feel totally overworked, totally exhausted, and you feel unappreciated. We have to prepare to go out and to love others, to love our neighbor as ourselves with the right attitude, to see these people, to see our friends and our family through Jesus' eyes, to love them as Jesus does. Notice the word "all" in the Deuteronomy scripture, Deuteronomy 6:5, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That means everything, everything you are, everything you have. Sometimes, don't you feel like sometimes you're having a great day, a great spirit-filled day. You've read your devotions, you spent time with the Lord, you've heard from him, you've prayed, and you feel like you're walking in the spirit. But in an instant, like I found myself, at times, I can turn around and yell at one of the kids for something. I don't even know what's going on or what they're doing, but they're nagging and it's bugging, Or you're waiting in the parking lot very patiently for this person to pull out of their parking spot, and you're waiting and you're waiting, and finally they get out and someone just comes around and snags you. So you lay on your horn or you stare them down with a glare as you pass by. Is that spirit-filled? Is that loving your neighbor as yourself? Loving your family, loving your kids as yourself? It's these little tiny areas. This is what I mean by these little tiny areas that Jesus also wants you to yield to him, to be a woman of devotion in every aspect of your life. I have a cold. My kids have been sick. It's been probably going on 3 weeks now that we've all had a cold, and just worn out and tired, and I haven't been to church in 3 weeks. And how draining that can be, not Wednesday night, not Sunday, nothing. And how draining, how dry, and how worn out you can feel after that. But, you know, I had shared with my mom what I was going to share here today, and middle of last week, I was telling her that I was disappointed that I wasn't going to be able to go to church again. And she said, well, you know, this is being a woman of devotion, and this is practical for you, because your family, the Lord has given you those kids and your family, and it's a blessing, and this is where you're called to be devoted. You know, and I thought, and I looked back, and I thought, you know, I was never dry one of those days. I was never worn out. I was never weary. And I look back, and I know it was because I have prepared my mind and my heart, and I know, and I can recall those promises from the Lord, and He strengthened me, and He carried me through those 3 weeks that I was unable to worship and fellowship and hear from Him. So that was practical for me. That was being devoted in a very practical way for me. Psalms 37, 5 through 8 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Don't fret. It only causes harm. So if our priorities are in line with God's priorities, He's going to enable us to do what needs to be done. And in that, it'll be done with joy and satisfaction. Because, again, going back to what John Corson had prays every morning with his list of things to do, that all that's important is to do what the Lord has called us to do. And all those other little things, because we're devoted to the Lord, because we're doing what He has called us to do, all those other little things are just going to fall right into place and fall into line. And because of that, because you're surrendering to the Lord, He's going to bless you. And you're going to be filled with joy and with satisfaction. And in that, you're going to be a woman of devotion. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this example of Mary and both Martha, Lord, that we can be in a balance and have some of both of their qualities, Lord. I just pray that you would keep this in our minds, Lord, and that we would just long to be, Lord, women of devotion, Lord. And in those little areas, Father, I ask that you would bring those to our minds, Lord, and bring us to our knees, Lord, of complete surrender, Lord, that we would be able to give you our entire life, Lord, and all that it entails in a very personal way, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for just meeting us right where we're at, Lord, and seeing us, Lord, as individuals and not just as a group, Lord, that you know exactly where we struggle, Lord, and that you are so willing to strengthen, Lord, as if we just ask. And I just pray that you would go with us the rest of this day, Lord, and bless your women, Lord. In your name, amen.